Welcome to the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby on a great, another victory Monday. And these definitely aren't getting old. I'm starting to really get used to these victory Mondays. Four in a row, as the Eagles are four in a row. And like we do every time the Eagles have a victory, we are going to have some fun and let the music play with a special new video just for Tubby to surprise him. that was just a little bit different spin on the regular video that we do. Normally we have like if you watch our live stream, we have the animation with the eagle running down the field. And this week I changed up a little bit. I saw this after the game and it's the take on the dad who's got his son in the car. In the original video, he's like playing old school rap and he's just getting into it. And somebody mixed it with the Eagles fight song, and I just thought, "Oh, that's so appropriate for our show." Yeah. So,
yeah, man, I've seen his clips before where he does like he picks up like random people, he acts like an Uber, and he just starts driving erratic as well too. Yeah, man, I've seen a few of those before. That's how I knew. I was like, "Oh, okay, I've seen that dude before."
Yeah, it's good stuff. But
I've seen the Eagles remix though.
I don't know how old that is because somebody put it up on the Philadelphia Eagles Frenzy Facebook page, and I was like, yeah, that's for us. That's I got to have that at least one time on the show because yeah, we had another amazing Sunday. It was definitely a heart stopper. It had everything. But there you go, right there on the screen, the Eagles win 29-21 And let me tell you, outside of the first quarter, it wasn't that close. It really wasn't that close. And, you know, I'm not trying to be egocentric. You know, we had a bad first quarter. And it's just the way it goes. It was partly due to the weather, the effects of the weather, where, you know, it was just a friggin' slog fest. The friggin' downpour was unbelievable. Heavy rain for, like, the remnants of Ian. Yeah, you know, hitting the stadium, and it didn't let up the whole time. But it was something they weathered through, and it showed a lot of heart. It showed a lot of character that they get down 14-0 after a pick six and then a pretty good drive. I'll have to say it was a pretty good drive by Jacksonville to get downfield, aided a little bit by injuries. You know, after the pick six, we lost Jordan Mailata, but then we also lost Darius Slay on the defensive side of the ball. Huge loss because we were already down with Maddox. And I think we felt Maddox's loss more than we did Slay because Josiah Scott had to come in to play for Maddox, and he did not play well. If it wasn't for our front seven, let's say, Josiah Scott could have really killed us. I was kind of wondering where Josh Jobe was out there. You know, and I don't want to get too negative because they did win the game. But, man, Josiah Scott had a rough, rough day. But all in all, it didn't matter because the front seven, in the weather conditions and everything, it just seemed to play into the Eagles' hands. Every time we needed something, they got it. And overall, you know, it was just the Eagles showing that this is a team that is for real this year. I think that every week we're seeing more and more how this team is moving into elite status by their play on both sides of the ball. So, yeah, what did you think about the comeback and just how are you feeling? We were texting back and forth. You know, we were in it.
You know, like I always say, man, the Eagles don't need to win how I want them to win. I'm not that important. I just want them to win. And as long as they're winning, that's all I care about, man. And of course, you always want to see, you know, what your team has. You want to see things to be, you want things to be consistent. And yeah, man, it's another week where our defense, about the third week in a row where I thought our defense played really well, considering Lawrence only completed 11 passes throughout the entire game. at a game that you think that he did better. I mean, even like it's almost like, well, if he didn't have those sacks, he would have did better. It's like, well, you only completed 11 passes in general. I thought we did really well against the run game this week, stopping ETN, really stopping, really slowing these guys down, where they didn't make huge impacts of the day. 32 yards ETN, Robinson 29 yards. You know, our defense, man, has been really underrated. We've made a lot of adjustments. You know, last year, if we gave up 7 from the jump, and then we go out there, you know, short drive and then punt and come back, and then we're down 14, those games were like, last year, it felt like they were insurmountable to come back from any of these games. Like, it just wasn't really optional. It was a struggle. But to me, I never really felt that down. I never got down on them at all, you know, because I still wanted to see what the Jaguars really had. I didn't really watch a full Jaguars game. I've seen them on the red zone. I've seen them here and there at the time of their schedule. So, but yeah, man, my biggest takeaway is obviously the command that Jalen has of the offense. Just continue to have these guys grind. That's why I said last week, you know, to have a quarterback that has the respect of that locker room, that's how you have those comebacks. Those guys just believe, like they know they never got down. You never seen people going crazy or getting too down. They were just like, all right, next play. And then those second quarter Eagles, man, we become these second quarter Eagles where we just look way better than the other team in the second quarter, at least so far this year, where it's like, we're just scoring at will and they can't do anything, man. So came out through the win. I think this is another test early, down 14-0. Because, you know, you can go through a season, you're up and everything's working well, everybody's healthy. It's the first game we've had major injuries. Maialata, you know, Slay has been in and out, but it's the first time it was like, dang, we lost Slay already. Mm-hmm. Slay's gone for the whole game. Then we lose, what, Sayamalu, I think?
Yeah.
Throughout the game as well, too, 56.
Yep.
You know, even, you know, he wasn't having the greatest games. He was holding his own out there because they were running a lot to the left side. If you notice, they ran off of Dickerson and Maialata most of the time. They stayed away from that right side. And then once Maialata went down, it was like, ugh, we got to go to the right side. I don't know if you noticed that. Like,
yeah, so I did.
Our strengths moved from running it to the left to all of a sudden Sanders Eaton running to the right, man. I just loved overall how they played, man. I just like that we're getting something on both ends of the ball. You see adjustments on both ends of the ball. You're not going the entire game wondering when they're going to change. So overall, outstanding performance. I agree with you. It wasn't as close as it looked in the end. You know, you get that bomb from Kirk and stuff like that. So I agree with you. It didn't look that close in the end. It's just we're still figuring out how to close out games, and we did it again for the fourth straight week, man.
I think that they really figured out how to close out this game, and I'll get to that in a second. But going back to one of the things you led with was you hadn't watched a lot of the Jacksonville game. So I got the Sunday ticket thing, and then I've got the NFL Game Plus. So I usually will watch our opponents, you know, games on the condensed replay. So I've watched Jacksonville, and I've said, you know, on this podcast, I said what a good team I thought they were going in. Look, this team, they shut out the Indianapolis Colts 24-0. They shut Jonathan Taylor down. The Los Angeles Chargers, even with the injured Herbert, though, they shut Austin Eckler down and won 38-10. This was the number one rushing defense in the NFL going into this game, and then they had faced good running backs. It wasn't like they were facing bad running backs. And in this game, like I said, not only was it Miles Sanders that did all this, but our offensive line, even with the injuries to Sayamalu and Maialata, Miles Sanders comes away with 27 carries, career day, 134 yards and 2 TDs, and the TDs were things of beauty. Now, I will give a lot of credit to Sanders. He had an amazing day, and it was definitely showed when he was in there compared to where Gainwell was in there, and I'll talk about Gainwell as we go along. But one of the things, like you said, when Maialata went down, they started to run toward the right, and the one person that stepped up, and he always steps up every game, watching the highlights back again today, was Jason Kelce. His seal blocks, where he's taking one guy on the initial hit and then running up 2 to 3 yards to get the linebacker. Yeah. Nobody does these things like Jason Kelce does. He is so underrated as a center. I think more people are loving him because of the personality, his brother. But this guy has been a godsend at the center position. And if you watch, like, Sanders' first touchdown, Kelce collapsed the line and created that hole for him because everybody was coming around the ends. And Kelce created a huge hole. Also, who I thought did really, really well, other than when he stepped on Jalen Hurts' feet and caused the trip, was Driscoll coming in for Mailata on the left side. At first, they didn't run his way. But then all of a sudden in the third quarter, they start running that way, and Sanders is picking up yardage. And he was, he wasn't like a standout performance, but Driscoll held his own. And it's so nice to have the depth that the Eagles do on the offensive line, because in previous years, we lose Brandon Brooks. Oh, we're done. It happened in the playoffs when we were playing the Saints. Up 14-0 against the Saints, lose Brandon Brooks, and then we couldn't stop the pass rush. Could not stop the pass rush. Could not run the ball. Everything just fell apart. And so for Opetta to come in and for Driscoll to come in and do what they did, it just speaks volumes. And I'll tell you what, Sanders was good early. I mean, from the get-go. And what I was, it was kind of nice because the downpour in the game, it was raining so hard that it kind of edged Sirianni in that way where he had to stick to the run game like in previous games where he'll deviate from it and he'll just let Hurts take over the game, which isn't necessarily bad. But, man, when you see that when the Eagles have to run and they stick to it a little bit and they don't abandon it when Sanders gets stopped for a 2-yard gain and they actually keep giving him carries. I mean, look at the number, 27 carries. We have not seen that this year.
That's workhorse type numbers right there. Bell cow type numbers there. 27 carries. Jalen had 16 carries himself. A lot of running.
It makes everybody better when your running game is consistent and when you're feeding the ball to your lead running back. Now, I'm going to say one thing about the other running backs in the game. I thought Sermon was, for the two carries he got, showed a lot of pep. He looked like he could be good for the Eagles. He really did. And I know Gainwell had a touchdown, but dude is straight up trash. I just don't like when he comes into the games. I think that they lose momentum. He sucks the air out of the room. And the line gave him a great hole, just like they did Sanders, and he got the touchdown. But look at his numbers. 5 carries for 19 yards. And a 3.8 yard percent average. But then look at his targeted twice in the receiving game. 1 reception for -2 yards. He had the other one that went through his hands because he's small. And Jalen probably overthrew it. But I'm just going to say it's his fault because I just don't like Gainwell. I just don't. My opinion, and I've said it to you offline outside of this podcast, is if Sanders is not winded, I don't know why you're going to go to Gainwell. And I know that we have this thing where we try to keep the fresh running back. Ask Saquon Barkley how that's working out in New York. Who spells Saquon, when he's only carried the ball twice in one drive? And maybe twice for 5 yards. Oh, we're going to pull him out for a third string come on. So you got to be a little bit smarter, and you've got to realize that every time, and there was many times throughout the day that he could have really hurt the Eagles, especially even in the second quarter, that they had to overcome his getting stuffed in the backfield where Sanders was consistently finding holes. So granted, we saw that, like I said, only had 5 carries, but every one was except for the touchdown run. Because let's look at it again real quick. He had a 10-yard touchdown run. That's it. Take that off the board. He had 4 carries for 9 yards.
Mm-hmm. I thought it went with Gainwell. A lot of it, Yeah, man, I would rather see – I think we know what we get out of Gainwell. He's just like a less effective Sanders, And when he comes in the game, you're just like, man, you want a bigger switch up than that. It's almost like you have – I won't even say the same back, but sometimes you just squint and go, oh, no, that's Gainwell. Because it's kind of like run for a little bit, fall for 2 yards. There aren't like any massive plays. I mean, that touchdown, hey, that was a hell of a run, But I would rather see what Sermon has. Then I started thinking like, well, this game is so sloppy. Maybe they're going with guys that they know. Because Gainwell, at least he doesn't fumble, stuff like that. He doesn't turn the ball over for us. I mean, he had that one off his hands. But And on that route, you know, I even disagree with the commentators. I thought Jalen threw the ball to where he should have went.
I agree.
Thought he was running a very weird route into the defense, and I thought Jalen was throwing it away from the defense, and he was just like right on line with it. I just thought Gainwell didn't get his head around the right way. It's, I don't know, small things, you know, from like a quarterback's perspective, like of, man, what are you doing? Why would you turn that way? You know, stuff like that. But I just think it just comes from a lot of reps with Gainwell. And I think we just know that Gainwell is not our long-term solution. So it's like, look, man, if we've had enough time to find Sanders a backup. Let's just be honest here. We've had a lot of time to find him a backup. And it's just like, you know, granted, we were the number one team in rushing last year in the NFL. So it's not like it was a mad search, but at least last night, that we heard Sirianni's press conference, he said, you know, Sanders is definitely, you know, our number one running back. And while he's sitting there, I think, holding his kid or whatever, he was like, nah, man, Miles is our running back. Eagles rushed the ball 50 times yesterday. You know, so this game played, I won't even call it our strengths. I just think this is what you get when you do have a quarterback that can hurt you both ways. These are the results that you can get where you can run the ball 50 times because they still have to respect A.J. Brown, who still had 5 catches for 95 yards, and, you know, Goddard, 5 catches, 72 yards, you know. So we still got guys you have to respect, and Smith had a clutch first down catch, Devontae Smith. He didn't have that monster game that he had last, but he just made that really nice block on the Sanders run.
Yeah.
Out there with Kelsey, if you look. It was Kelsey and Smith still held his out there.
Yeah, yeah. I pointed
really
that.
Big block to seal it off. Boom, boom. Then they run in, and you see him pumping his fist as Sanders is running into the end zone. You don't see a lot of wide receivers celebrating that day. Like, yes, I made a good block.
Real.
Just shows to the good environment that the team is playing in, and everybody's happy when you're winning, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, man, I thought this was a good – man, I didn't – now that we've won the game, it's like, yes, and I've said this earlier, it's a game that we've came back down from. Perseverance, just early in the season, right? Terrible weather. You walk out, you're like, man, I don't want to play in this. I mean, it's coming down sideways. Wind is crazy. It was in the 50s. So after a while, it's like, man, this is miserable. And it just felt like that first quarter, they weren't motivated. Like, even on the tackles, like, you know, it's like when a guy run along the sideline, you wouldn't see that eagle come up and really hit him. It was just kind of like push him out of bounds. I thought we played really soft tackling-wise. And from the line, I didn't think we, like, really came out and, like, pushed forward. Just kind of like the play calling was terrible, I thought, starting out. Because when you're in bad weather spots, like, just find the nice play. Just find the open play. And that first play, when you got the pick six or that first drive with the pick six, you go, oh, my goodness. Then the second drive, you go three and out. You just go, like, I just don't like the vibe. I don't like the play call. Like, I understand pick six. Like, I get all that. You know, pick six happens, you know. But it's just like, man, I just don't like the play call there. I just don't like the play call. And I thought once we started getting into a really good rhythm play call, I think that first key pass was, like, to Sanders, like, on a little dump off. And it just kind of got us working, Then you get the screen to Goddard. Gets us working. The Eagles just are figuring things out, man. I just wish we didn't all do it in the second quarter. I wish it was more, you know, spread out throughout the game. But like I said, you don't have to win. I just want you to win. I love my birds, so it was super exhausting, man. Yeah. Just quite a bit.
Because
you know with that weather – and that missed extra point, now you're like, man, can we even kick the ball now? So we're in all these situations. And when Jalen scored fourth and goal, but it was like from like the 3-yard line. And he ran that in, man, where the weight run paid off. Most quarterbacks are getting tackled a little short from there, except for like your big guys like Roethlisberger, Josh Allen, just those big guys that just kind of burrow over you and fall in that you can't stop from going forward. Jalen Hurts made a hell of a play there. That really sparked. But this is why he's the Eagles quarterback. He gives you that spark there. And, man, so we've been beating teams in the air. We've been beating teams on the ground. And we've been beating teams quarterback into the ground because Carson 9 sacks last week. Then we come into this week and we make Trevor Lawrence fumble 4 times. One of them was just his fault, but 2 of them, the snap and the slip when he rolled out. But those 2 from Hassan Reddick, man. Now that, you know, this, I'm got to give a shout out to the defense, man, because Reddick, remember they were dropping him back earlier in the year, right? And you hear the Eagles fans just like, hey, man, why are we dropping him back? Now that he's been going more so forward, the success has been way different. At least right now, at least these 2 teams that we've played, man, all you're seeing is that number 7 coming off that left side. And he is working hard, man. And just really proud of how this team bounced back, you know, from this game. It was a, you know, just one of those sloppy slug out games. But yeah, man, it's just 4-0, man. 4-0. It feels real good. It feels real good to be 4-0, man.
Yeah, it does. It's like you said, going back to the Smith play, I pointed that out to my wife. I made her rewatch the highlights with me, or the condensed play. And she, the first thing she said was, how did he stay on his feet as small as he is? I'm like, because that's the Eagles right now. That's the intensity that we run. And yeah, so everybody participated in this game. Like I said, I don't want to stay on Gainwell too much because honestly, he was a small negative. The other negative was you talked about it a little bit, was in the third quarter, or in the fourth quarter, sorry, where the Jacksonville was trying to come back, and Gannon went into prevent for one Jacksonville series, and he learned from that. You know, they gave up the bomb to Kirk. Again, it was Josiah Scott gave up the bomb to Kirk to make it a 29-21 game when they could have held him out if they'd have stayed aggressive. But then the very next possession, after the Eagles come down the field and then go for it again on 4th and 3, I you know, how many times did they go for it on 4th down? And I saw in the afterwards, you know, in the press conference, that Sirianni said the reason that he kept going for it on 4th down because he believes in his quarterback. And sometimes they didn't make it, and sometimes they did. When they did around the goal line, it led to points. And at the end there, where he could have kicked a field goal and put the game away, maybe. But then you're taking a risk because they're at the 20 of missing it. So he had more faith in Jalen than he did in his kicker. And not that he has no faith in Elliott. It's just that's how strong Sirianni's faith is with Hurts. I will say this, going back to talking about the way you said earlier about how Jacksonville looked like they were better than they were than the stats show for part of that game. And you're exactly right. When they were up 14-0 and had the pick six and then the drive that led to the 14 points to Agnew. Agnew had a game, 2 touchdowns, unbelievable, all over the field. They looked like they were in command. And then they get the ball back in the second quarter, and they were driving again. The 4th and 3 play you mentioned where Lawrence fumbled it on his own. Just before that, he misses a wide-open Agnew over the top of the defense, and he overthrows him by about 2 yards. And if Agnew catches that, it's 21-0. And then the air gets sucked out of you. Then it's done. Instead, he misses that throw. Blame the weather, blame whatever, or just the Eagles' pressure. There was a lot of pressure on him on that play. He had to get rid of it. But then the very next play on the 4th and 3, he fumbles. And you know, it didn't matter. The Eagles were going to get the ball back anyway, but he fumbled and gave them extra field position. So, you know, and then they get the kind of generous holding call on that, which was awesome. And then you mentioned it, the screens to Goddard. Because Jacksonville, and I've been watching for a while, they do play a lot of aggressive man. They and they knew that after watching the Washington game that was going to challenge Hurts throwing into tight windows. And I think that's part of the reason they got off to a slow start. It was seeing what the defense was going to give them and then realizing that they were going to have tight windows to throw in. And that's when you started to see those Goddard screens, which I absolutely love those screens. Because even if you know they're coming, you can't stop them because Goddard's a freight train. It's much different than having a running back that a corner can tackle. But you get a tight end with a head of steam like Goddard does, he just steamrolls people.
Yeah, man. Hey, did you hear yesterday? You know, I don't want to break my hand patting myself on the back, but did you remember during the draft? I said, look, man, Goddard is a top 5 tight end. You said, what? Hey, man, Goddard. Yeah, you hear the commentators yesterday?
Yeah.
Did you hear the commentators during the game? What they say, hey, man? You got guys like Tony Gonzalez, just some Hall of Fame guy, just some guy that may have caught a few passes in his life. Says that Goddard is the one. I mean, Kelce is the best tight end. Like, let's just, Kelce is the man. I mean, Travis Kelce is just unbelievable. That is the ultimate luxury at tight end is Travis Kelce, because he can block and he can do whatever else he wants to do. I mean, he's just, he's the ultimate luxury, right? Mm-hmm. You got him there, and then you got Andrews out there in Baltimore. Then there's just this space of guys. You got Waller, who's hit or miss, but Goddard, man, Goddard, he can block, and like when he's lined up as a lineman, he looks like a lineman. When he's running out, he looks like a tight end. Like, he has all of the characteristics. He's super tough. He had that one drop foot that probably would have been a touchdown.
It was right there.
Would have made the game look that much worse, you know, like it would have really put it out of reach at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, even where that late touchdown doesn't even hurt us, because it's still a 2-score game. But
right,
that late touchdown made it a 1-possession game. You're just like, man, if Goddard catches that ball, falls in, we're up 3 scores then.
Exactly.
And now we're probably playing a little bit further back. I was just looking up Josiah Scott. I was like, who is this dude, man?
Yeah.
Michigan State guy. I've never heard of him. But so I think this is the first burn he's gotten this year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, he got pretty much thrown to the fire. Almost. pretty much thrown to the fire. Like, I'm just looking back. He has no reps with us.
We'll see how things go with him this week if they don't try to get Joby in there. I like Joby much better, but we'll see. Joby hasn't had any action either. But your touch on Goddard, let's stay on that for a little bit, is that on that drive after the Agnew miss and after the fumble, when the Eagles needed points, they were doing those screens to Goddard. And then you remember that they got down into the 20, had that beautiful side screen or swing pass to A.J. Brown, and Goddard actually blocked downfield. He was trying not to touch the defender. I thought that was a bad call, because he just had his hands out and the defender engaged him, and they called it on Goddard. Was like, he touched me, and they called him for blocking downfield. I mean, he was just standing there waiting for the ball to get to Brown, and just had his hands out. Like the announcer said, though, he should have just turned his back. But then you can't make your block if you turn your back and you're facing Hurts. But regardless,
we still got a touchdown, I think, on that drive.
Yes.
That's why I didn't really.
Right.
I think, that was the Hurts touchdown. So that sometimes, like, when we still get a touchdown, I'll go, all right.
Yeah. That was. Well, that's what I was saying. That's why it was so significant, because that became first and goal from the 20. And then you had a couple of run plays to Sanders, and then Jalen tried to take it, and they end up on third and long. And it was the 2 straight runs. Jalen just bull rushed down to the 3. And then at 4th and goal from the 3, again, just bull rushed. I thought there was a missed call on a helmet to helmet, because the defender, when Jalen was going in, lowers his head.
You know, I was thinking about that. So I seen the hit and I was like, man,
no call. So these officials.
I wonder what they thought about that. I didn't like Jalen taking that hit. I don't want to sidetrack you from Goddard. I didn't like that hit, but go on.
No, that was all I was saying, was talking about Goddard on that drive. He may have made the mistake, like the drop, but then he'll make up for it later in the game. That's the one thing he does do. He will come up with a big play if he comes up with a bad one. But yeah, that drive was so important. I did think it was held to helmet. Refs, real quick, I thought they let him play. I thought that the Jaguars had a lot of early contact, but then the Eagles did a little bit too. And the refs just, I've said it last week, I would prefer the refs to keep their flags in their pocket, as opposed to a flag on every single pass play and every single hold. So, you know, while they missed that helmet to helmet and they missed other calls, I'm not going to get upset about it, because like you said, they scored there. It was 14-7 at that point. Then they get the fumbled, so you get Sanders TD. And then we're going in, you know, looking like, okay, it's going to be 14-14 and a half. And then the Reddick strip fumble.
Oh, man.
And again, and then the Gainwell TD, which is like on a 2nd and 6, and you just blew through the line right before half. Huge that the Eagles, each and every game that we've watched, it seems like, they get that late second quarter touchdown, and they have the ball to start the third quarter. The problem is they come out in third quarter and they seem to cross the 50, mm-hmm. and they seem to get the ball moving, and then something silly happens, like Driscoll stepping on Hurts' feet, and they end up, you know, playing around with them a little bit. But all of that was because when to get that drive to make it 14-7 was because after that, I think after that miss, Lawrence, where he missed Agnew, what you were saying, the defense didn't seem like they had the intensity. Everything ramped up. They were popping guys left and right. You see the Davis run stuff, the Jordan Davis, man, just obliterated ATN. And then there were other moments that I thought stood out. Edwards in the third quarter on the Jaguars' first possession in the third quarter when it's 20-14 because they missed the extra point. And he has the tight end.
Make us worry.
He's rolling out, and he has the tight end. This is, we're trying to preserve a six-point lead. He rolls out, has the tight end, and Edwards didn't even flinch. He went right after Lawrence. He was like, I'm not going to sit there and hold back, and I'm not going to let you throw it. And then he comes up with a sack for a two-yard loss. I thought that was one of the biggest sacks of the game, and it was so underrated because it forced a punt right then and there, and it got the Eagles the ball. It was just, it was amazing. Punt coverage was unbelievable. That 21, I forget his name, had some major stops on punt coverage. So it was in that rain, it was a total team effort. And let's not forget that probably one of the plays of the game, in my opinion, again, trying to hold on to a lead in the third quarter, Jags moving the ball at will against the defense. You know, they're running the ball well, and Lawrence is kind of making plays. They get down to the 20-yard line, and Bradbury with a pick at the goal line out of nowhere.
Man.
I mean, so many key plays by this team all around. It was great to watch. It was great to watch.
What you think? You think TJ Edwards is having an all pro year so far?
I think he's having a pretty damn good year. I mean, and it helps that he's got Kazir White and Hassan Reddick, you know, next to him because they're.
Did you notice that Kazir is the one calling the plays? Mm-hmm. Did you pick that up?
I did not.
They got Kazir calling the plays and not TJ. I thought that was very interesting. That Kazir is out there, the one you see him. He's calling the audibles. You see he's calling the plays pre-snap, and he's balling out too. I mean, Kazir is what an addition. Him, Hassan Reddick, what in Bradbury, bruh. They have all hit so far, especially Bradbury. I mean, you cannot believe. I don't know who else there makes that interception. I thought, just wanted to give TJ his props, man, because I think even the commentators, they said, he slimmed down. He's a little slimmer this year because the way he tracked down and got to Trevor was impressive to make that open field tack. Trevor Lawrence is a big quarterback. He's like 6'6". Now, I know on TV we expect to be – trying to tackle somebody that's 6'6", is it?
He wrapped up.
That's a pretty big feat, man.
He wrapped up.
He's huge.
You know, the first thing I thought of, though, was funny when I saw that play again today, rewatching it and making a note of it, is I thought about next week. Now, I'm not getting into the preview just yet, but the same issue, if that was Kyler Murray, who's not 6'6", but so slippery. So we're going to have a whole different dynamic next week. But we'll get to next week when we talk about that on Wednesday. I want to stick with this game and recap it. I mean, what more could be said? Yeah, go
ahead. One of the gripes I had was with I thought the first touchdown, if I'm being honest, I thought that was preventable. I thought CJ was out of position. So when Agnew brings him in, right, like they do the little – because they want to see if you're in man or not. That's why they're moving you, Goofy.
Right.
If you know you have this guy over the top, why would you get so far in the under – why would you get so far in the middle of the field that you can't cover the outside, which is your assignment?
Right.
I mean, they literally showed you, like, when they put Agnew in motion, he came inside. You see Gardner come inside. They immediately know, okay, we have man out there. All I have to do is snap the ball, and as soon as CJ hesitates, he is open over there. I thought that was a good play call by Gannon. I just thought it was poor execution by CJ Gardner, because if you're on it, that's a pick. That ball is kind of floated out there. You pick that ball and you keep going. So I thought that was underrated. I thought the play call was right. It just looked that much worse because of how out of position CJ was on that play. And I was just like, man. Another thing, too. On Jalen's touchdown, the first touchdown, right? Breaks it open. Cool. I don't like those hits, man. I'm like, man, like, I love it. We needed that score. It really amped up the squad. But if he waits probably another, it's fourth down. So he's in a haste. But Gainwell's like wide open to the right. When he's wide open, you know, it's like, dang. But like, it's almost like soon as he's able to see Gainwell, like Gainwell takes too long to get there. Like the play was almost like it was for Gainwell, but Gainwell takes so long getting to where he's supposed to be. There's so many little nuances in a play, man. I don't want to get too crazy, but like he takes so long after his delay to get out there that Jalen's just like, I don't know. But he ends up being wide open and Jalen runs it in for the touchdown. But when I saw that hit, man, I don't like that contact, man. Particularly with the Tua situation is going to have a ripple effect in the NFL. You see what happened to Brian Hoyer, right? Hoyer takes a good shot, but not a ridiculous shot on Sunday. I don't know if you've seen the Patriots game where Hoyer takes, you know, just gets blindsided. Boom. Really solid tackle, but he didn't get blown up. Doesn't come back in the game. You're just like, from that hit? Dang. I don't want Jalen to get into a protocol. I don't want him ever to be in any type of protocol because once he is, they're just going to be watching. You know, they got the guys up in the towers. Look at me. They have the guys up in the booths, you know, the refs as well, too, that are watching that will buzz down and say, no, number 22, stop the play. I've seen a play get called off this year because they needed to check for a concussion. I don't know if it was college or the NFL, but I know it happened. I know the refs from up in the booth buzzed down and said, no, you got to check 22. He can't play. So that's just my only thing, man. You know, Jalen with 16 carries, it's just like, man, this is why you have him. But it's just like, oh, man, because this offense we will lose that dynamic. You know, Hurts being able to run is like the cheat code. Mm-hmm. Right? Because if you can run the ball traditionally, which you saw 27 carries for 130 some yards and, you know, number one rushing team in NFL last year, Woody Woop. The passing is where we were on the lower end of the spectrum at. Now we're at the top end of the spectrum there. And now the X factor is the fact that Hurts can hurt you with his legs. If we lose that, we go back to a more simplistic style, more predictable offense, which if you look around the NFL, a lot of offenses can get into a predictable style. Man, it's not a lot of guys, not a lot of teams putting up points like the Eagles every week, man. It almost feels like we expect this phenomenal offensive play, but it's phenomenal. We're at the top of the NFL. We're not in the middle of the pack. We're not in the bottom half. We're at the top of the NFL. That means the Eagles fans are getting spoiled with the amount of offense that the Eagles are putting out on a game-to-game basis, man. And our schedule helps. I'm glad we didn't have any world beaters early on, you know, because if we play anybody else, oh, look at that. Well, there you have it. I mean, look, that's spoiled,
the offense. That's the offense.
That is straight spoiled.
That's the Eagles' total yards per game is the graphic on the screen right now. 455 in week one, 486 in week two, 400 in week three and 401. Now, so you said that we haven't had any world beaters. I disagree. I've been having this argument online for quite a bit, and I think it's the Cowboys fans fallback where they go, well, you haven't played anybody yet. Bull, sure, is all I'm going to say that. Because if you stop and think about it, you know, you look at the Jags going into this game, and I already mentioned, they shut out Indy 24-0, beat the Chargers 38-10, shut them down. Then you got Minnesota, who was beaten, blew out Green Bay. And what did Green Bay do? Beat New England this weekend, and they've beaten Tampa Bay. All right, mm-hmm. Tampa Bay beat Dallas. So de facto, we're better than Dallas. I'm just saying, if you look at the common opponents, we beat a Minnesota team, and we didn't just beat them. We made them look like they were non-existent on the field. They were world beaters, or could have been. You know, Cousins is Cousins. He threw a pick in the New Orleans game, but they still come up with a win. And I thought Dalton played really well in that game. I thought he may have end up stealing that job from Jameis if he continues to play well in that offense. Because Jameis, the problem is that he's got skill and he's got ability, but the turnover thing is just killing New Orleans. Oh, yeah. He has not learned to clean that up. And I think that if Dalton plays kind of relatively safe football like he did against Minnesota, we may see more Dalton. I don't want to, because the Eagles got the New Orleans first round pick next year. And right now, that pick is number four.
Is it number four?
It is number four.
Thing's been fluctuating a lot. First, since I hear three, since I hear four. But either way, a top five pick is unbelievable to add to what we have.
We want them to continue to lose as much as possible. But I say that to say this, is that I had to make those arguments. And, of course, then I had to say, who, like we talked about it in the last podcast, is other than outside of Miami, you know, and Buffalo. Buffalo's had a pretty good schedule. Who's played anybody of merit? Now, last night, Kansas City played Tampa Bay and made them look non-existent. But Kansas City lost to Indy.
Right.
Who Jacksonville beat 24-0, who the Eagles beat the heck out of on Sunday. So it is like, if you measure that, I think right now, like I said, the Eagles, they're playing good teams. They're just playing really well. And you know, and like I said, it goes over 400 yards of offense each and every game so far this year. It's just, you can't say enough about what they're doing. It is, it's a lot of fun. And I wanted to point this out at the end of the game when I said about they could have gone for a field goal to end up maybe putting the game out of reach. At that point, it would have been probably the safest thing to do, even in the weather. But Nick Sirianni said, you know why I went for it? Because I trusted you. And he almost got it. Brown, he put it right where Brown could get it. The defender made a great play. Normally, Brown, with his strength, can come down with that ball. It was right there. And if Brown makes that catch, the game was over anyway. We wouldn't have needed another Lawrence fumble. Luckily enough, you know, they didn't get it. I'm like, all right, Gannon, we got to play more aggressive defense than they do. Hassan Reddick comes through for us. So you got to like what everybody is doing on this team, and especially QB1. QB1 is where it all starts and ends for the Eagles, and it just can't, you know, it just can't be said about how much he's meaning to this year. I'm kind of getting tired. I'm not getting tired. I'm gonna change that. It does make me upset that the Eagles aren't getting the respect at 4-0 that they deserve. Because I heard somebody say this on Good Morning Football this morning. They were like, well, the Eagles are 4-0. They haven't played anybody, but 4-0 is 4-0. Shut the hell up. Who has? I'm just like, why do you have to say it that way? And then they're asked, they had the trivia question, who's had the more surprising start to the season, the Eagles or the Giants? Three out of the four panels said the Giants. I'm like, are you kidding me? They beat Tennessee with a 2-point conversion in week one. But other than that, they struggled against Chicago. They lose to Dallas. Give me a break with the Giant thing. We know the Giants have got Saquon Barkley, but if you're going to put Daniel Jones up against Jalen Hurts, I'll take that every day of the week. I'll take Jalen Hurts every day of the week.
Because the Giants don't really make off-season news. You know, like when the season is over or when the season is going on, unless you hear about Saquon in particularly, you don't really hear about the Giants. Like, you know, they'll have full segments on Jalen Hurts and where could he be and where is Bigley. But when it comes to guys like Daniel Jones, it's just kind of like, he's kind of like an afterthought, or maybe it's not enough clickbait. It's not provocative enough to talk about. But I think, man, when I think about like world beaters, I think the first team, I guess what I mean is we haven't played Buffalo. You know, teams that won the AFC Championship game last year. So you got Buffalo. You have, the Bengals. The Bengals still had the Bengals had a 10-7 season last year, but we treat them as if they went 14-3 or something like that. You know, they went 10-7. They only finished one game better than the Eagles, and they had a good playoff run. Mm-hmm. That's completely different from just a team that has shown you week in and week out that they can dominate. You know, I don't know why that just kind of popped up, but I was just thinking, like, everybody expects the Bengals to win, but it's like, yo, man, the Bengals won 10 games last year.
And they've gotten off to a rough start, and I'll give credit that Dallas has beaten them, but we saw them lose in week one to the Steelers, and the Steelers are god-awful. And right, if
the
they
Bengals
don't,
aren't
if they,
one of my world beaters.
No, but,
I was,
but
just,
if they,
I was just throwing them out there.
If they don't kill Tua, they may not win that game on Thursday night. So some people do.
But to me, like, we haven't played those teams in the media eyes that think that they are world that they could be potential world champions. So the potential world champions, Buffalo Bills. We haven't played the Bills. Chiefs, we haven't played the Chiefs. When it comes, but you make a good point. When it comes to the NFC, people thought the Vikings were going to, you know, run away with even the North up there with Devontae leaving Green Bay. So I'll definitely hold on to that for sure. The Vikings, people definitely thought the Vikings could be, you know, one of the top teams. But with Kirk Cousins, that's what they're like, the tier below, like world beaters. Like world beaters where you have a dog at the quarterback position and you're fighting, man. You know, just playing some of those elite teams. I know we talked about Detroit defense letting them down. I think the same thing is happening in Baltimore as well, too. Like they've been losing games, but then they've been making some poor decisions as well, too. How do you not kick that field goal? I know we're talking about the Eagles, but it's like, how do you not kick the field goal there? Like that is the well, I'm sorry. You had a one. You see the stats behind it? It was a 1.7% chance on that fourth down there. One. That means you risk the whole game on a 1.7% chance. These are just the numbers, you know. You can't argue with the numbers most of the time, right? It's out, numbers never lie type stuff. Or maybe he has that Sirianni approach, right. Like, I went for it because I believed in you, Lamar.
Yeah, I guess. I get what you're saying on the world beater side, but we don't have Buffalo or Kansas City on our schedule.
No doubt.
We did have Jacksonville, like again, who shut out the Colts, who beat the Chiefs, and maybe the Chiefs were having a down week, whatever. But we do have other teams on our schedule that I think are a step up. We're not going to play anybody in the AFC that's the other outside of the Jacksonville Jaguars, which may be worth a damn. We're going to play Tennessee. We're going to play Indianapolis. We're playing the South. So we'll see what we get out of those teams. I think if you beat Tennessee and Derrick Henry, you're going to make a rep. I think we beat this Arizona team coming up. They struggled against Carolina, but they're always in the mix. I think that you beat Dallas coming up in 2 weeks is going to be a big statement game, especially at home on a Sunday night. But what they've done in 4 weeks has not only it's not only been impressive, it's been dominating. It's been they have not, other than being down 14-0 to Jacksonville right off the bat, they haven't flinched. You know, they've always been in command of each and every game. And talking about Detroit, I know that you know they're 1-3 right now. They are the number one scoring offense in the league. Man. And they're also the last in defense. Because you give up 48 points, you lose 48-45 to Seattle, of all teams. You drop 48 to Geno Smith, you got a problem on defense, and they definitely do. So I think that all we got is our schedule. I think the good thing I am about this, I can get riled up about it, and I initially do, because I turn on these shows after an Eagles win. You know, and this is what really upsets me. I like, hey, let's watch Good Morning Football. They're going to give my Eagles some love. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles sitting off in the corner while they love on Cooper Rush and while they love on Saquon, and the Eagles, even though they're leading the division and are undefeated. Oh yeah. And the Eagles are pretty good too, you know, but all I can think of is when the Eagles started off the season 11-1 in 2017, and everybody kept saying the same thing. They haven't played anybody. Then we beat the Rams and we lose our quarterback. Well, now it's over. It's over. And so I want this to do what that did in 2017. And I can deal with it. I can deal with the lack of respect if it fires Jalen and company up and gets them ready for these games, and to where each and every game they're the underdog again. That's how I want to feel. Now, granted, they may not be the underdog in the spread. I think that they've got a little bit more respect than that. But mm-hmm. I do think they're the underdog in the NFL's eye, in the media's eye, where they're, oh yeah, they're pretty good, they're undefeated, but we still don't really expect them to win this year. We still expect Green Bay, who struggled in just about every single game. Let's look at Green Bay for a second. 14-12 against a Tampa Bay team that had basically no wide receivers. They get blown out by Minnesota, and then they beat a New England team at home that's playing some of the worst football New England's ever played. But all of a sudden, that's credible.
With their third string quarterback. And while we're there, I want to make a point right there. When it comes to like quarterbacks and stuff, I didn't know that Zappe was the first rookie quarterback this year to throw a touchdown. Remember last week when I said, look around the NFL, what rookies do you see balling? And you have the third string quarterback from the Patriots that came in due to injury, two injuries in front of him, to be the first rookie quarterback to throw a touchdown. And it's week four, a month has already gone past in the league, man. I'm telling you, man, to have a quarterback that is 23 and that is playing very well. Oh, man, it is. This is what excites the Chargers. You got guys that are young and can play. That's what excites Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? This is what can excite Miami. This is what excites Buffalo, even though Allen's on his fifth season. But you get what I'm saying? Like, when you can have young guys, Baltimore, you know, when you have young guys that can play, it's like, bing, this could go on. Jalen 23 years. Like, I don't know. I hate to stress that enough. He's in his third year. Like, that's incredible, man. He's 23, 24. I think he's 23. Anyway, yeah. He's young. We have a young quarterback, young wide receivers. You see the youth. You see the youthfulness in the locker room after the game. You see the youthfulness in the coach. You know, Sirianni's quirky, but he's always doing little things to kind of keep things light, you know, with his Mike Quick jersey 1 week and just, you know, just being real comfortable, man.
Yeah.
Keeping it light. And I think that's how teams bounce back. When you have a dictator or a really down on you coach, those teams may not come back from those games. And I hate to make like a terrible comparison, but like Steve Kerr, Golden State in basketball, he's like, the super easy going, you know, kind of guy. Let the players be himself. Andy Reid type of guy. Andy Reid's a better. Andy Reid's kind of like, hey, man, be yourself. You know, when Juju got out there and he was like a little apprehensive at first. I don't know if you've seen that little interview. They was like, and Andy came up to him and was like, hey, man, be yourself.
Right.
Be yourself. Like, and that's why so many people love Andy Reid. It's because he lets you be yourself. You don't have to be what Andy wants you to be. He's going to just try to make the best of what you can bring and get out of you. And that's why he is coaching his 400 and something game last night at a 16 a season clip to make it to four.
I know. It's crazy.
Incredible. Yep. It's absolutely incredible. Hall of Fame coaching Andy Reid. Started to get off on the Reid thing. But he took a picture with us. So yep, I forever yep. have love with him. And even if he would have said no, I still would have understood because it was about Dawkins and not us that night. Yeah, but shout out to Andy Reid. Hall of Fame coach, man.
You make a great point. Yeah. This right now, we've got something special right now, no matter how this ends this year. But and for the media to undersell it, that's fine. We can deal with that. Let's just, like Sirianni says, let's just keep playing round by round and keep winning, because we've got the coach, we've got the quarterback, we've shown this weekend we've got the running back, we've got the offensive line, we've got the defensive line, we've got the corners. We just need to get everybody healthy, and it looks like we're trending that way. All the injuries that we had, we got a report today from Sirianni that all of the injured players have a chance to play Sunday. Now, I will say that I kind of don't want them to rush anybody back unless it's absolutely necessary, because I want everybody healthy for Dallas. But if we can get them back out on the field, they say Slay's injury is not that bad. The one that Maddox may set out another week because of his ankle, that's going to hurt us. I would like to get Scott off the field, but they'll work on that. They know Scott's a liability, and they'll work on it. But speaking of, and we'll talk more about the Arizona game on Wednesday night when we do our preview for Arizona. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be doing that 6 o'clock on Wednesday. But one of the coaches that everybody does love came to see us this weekend. And I want to touch just really quickly on that. We talked about it last podcast. You know, Doug Peterson, man, everybody loves Dougie P. He brought us the Super Bowl, and he's shown that he can coach. It isn't just a fluke. It wasn't just his staffers. The man has coached Jacksonville and given him respectability after the disaster that was Urban Meyer. And this picture that we've got up on screen is just indicative of that. Kelsey coming over, giving Doug a jersey, and Doug's only response was, well, let me give you my jacket off of my back in the rain. And you see Kelsey's face. He's just fist pumping. He's like, yeah, that's the way to go, coach. And it's just awesome to see him doing well. And it was great, especially great, to see how the fans treated him coming into this game. And on Wednesday, I'm not going to do it now. I have just to put it out there. I am going to go on a tirade, so you should stay tuned for it, on how Philadelphia fans are the classiest fans in the NFL. Yes, that's right. I said it, and I will back it up with facts.
Big facts.
On Wednesday. So you want to tune in for it, because we're going to spit facts on how the Eagles are the classiest fans in football, and it is a media conspiracy to be able to make us look like a horse's ass each and every week. And it's not fair that they do us this way. But another thing that Dougie said that happened while Dougie was on the field, and it really got to me, was Jalen sought him out. And I don't know if you saw that video. He comes up behind Doug.
Dougie P. Come on, love you, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, Doug turns around, and the first thing that Jalen says to him is like, "Thank you. You're the reason I'm here." And Doug said, "I knew you were going to be great. I believed in you." And it, to know that Jalen feels that way, that it was Dougie that wanted to bring Jalen in. I think Dougie saw what he had in Carson and was trying to save his job, because he saw this talented guy out there and knew that he had to bring somebody in that could maybe save him. And it could have worked.
Just
a year too late. But he did bring Jalen here. It was, hearing that, it makes me feel like it was partly his call. And that's crazy, man, to know that Jalen thanks Dougie for getting him drafted by Philadelphia. Now, also in that picture, we saw Jason Kelce. And we talked about how great he played in the game. He loves exchanging jerseys. He's our dude. And he's also the subject of this week's This is a great picture and a great meme that we have of Jason Kelce, which is our Hell to the Gnaw. Because normally the Hell to the Gnaw is a meme that makes fun of a player. It really is. That's what we use it for. And it is Jason Kelce, because he said that if he blocked for Miles Sanders and Sanders scored a TD, he was going to be on the sidelines wearing that Batman cape. So somebody tweeted out a picture of this big fat dude at like a Comic-Con in a Batman suit. Going and says Jason Kelce on the sidelines blocking for a Miles Sanders screen pass touchdown. Man.
But that's here's the key. Bro.
Here's the funny thing. That came out of FF Bird Gang, right, who tweeted it. Look at the top. Jason Kelce retweeted. That's why we love this guy, is the fact that Jason is like, oh, that's funny. You know, that's who we've got in this league. I thought this week was a special week. Down 14, the listening to Meek Mill in the locker room afterwards, everybody celebrating. Enjoy that. You're 4-0, but now get serious, because you got to go on the road to Arizona, and you got to play a pretty decent Arizona team. I'm not saying that they're tops in the league. But they are a competitive team. They are somebody. Luckily, we don't have to face them with Hopkins, or Kirk. But they're still dangerous. They're still dangerous, and we're going to break it. What's that?
Kirk who?
Yeah, exactly.
We just played Kirk. Kirk.
I know exactly. Who? And shut him down. Shut.
I had him
on
my
down.
Fantasy. I know what happened.
We won't talk about fantasy until Friday, because I got.
Hey, you still can make a comeback. You're not out of it at all.
It's rough. But anyway, the Eagles will play the Cardinals in Arizona at 4:25 Eastern, so a little bit later of a start. It's the afternoon game, West Coast game. We're going to be excited for it. I don't know how I'm going to wait till 4:25. I'm used to them playing at 1. I love them playing at 1 o'clock, so it'll be hard for me to get there. But we'll get there, and we'll get there as a group. We'll get there as fans, and we'll do our best to get through this season, another nail-biting week. I'm enjoying it. It's so much better than being 0-4. But, man, you just want it to keep going. You just want it to keep riding. And so that's what we got to do. We just got to keep riding this wave and keep riding our QB1 and have Jalen Hurts take us all the way to the promised line. Thank you for joining us this week on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Whether you're on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live for our live stream, if you're a regular podcast listener, we recommend it. You watch us on that, too, and engage, comment on the stream whenever you can. And make sure you like and subscribe us on any one of those platforms. We'd be very appreciative of it. Also, for our podcast listeners, whether you're on Stitcher, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Castro, or Stitcher, we really appreciate it. So make sure that you tell your friends and get them to like and subscribe us on their favorite podcast provider so you can listen to us all the time. You can email us comments or questions at our email address. That's lee.bird, that's B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. 4-0, another game in the books. Jacksonville down, bring on the Cardinals. And then with all that, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his departing words.
Thank everybody for coming over to the Where Goes There podcast. On 4-0, on to the Cardinals. As always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll talk to you again Wednesday.